two giant goofballs is shot live in front of a streaming audience.
Welcome to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. Are you a goofball that loves Giants football? If so, sit back and relax.
Except you, that person driving. Sit up and keep your eyes on the road.
Your ears, though, can still listen as we talk about the team that both excites and frustrates us so much. And now, here are your goofball hosts, Drew and Rob.
Welcome, fellow goofballs, to Two Giant Goofballs, New York Giants podcast. I am Drew, joined as always by...
And me, Rob. Let's get the show on the road, because my face is fixed.
Yes, your face is fixed. It wasn't your face. Your face broke your camera. That's what happened. It was a very, very sad day for the camera. I said, I'm not this again. I can't take one more day of looking at this face. Can't do it.
It's a big nose. I had it over.
It's the schnoz. The schnoz and Irish head combo.
Look like a bobblehead. Pinocchio. Oh, God. I had to grow into this noggin.
Alrighty. Well, let's get into growing into the linebacker position here, because that's what we got here today as we continue our roundup here of all these different positions. For those of you looking to schedule out and see what's available, by the way, we have officially scheduled every single episode we have planned leading into the first two nights of the draft. They're scheduled. They're ready to go up. You can hit the notify button on Facebook, YouTube, whatever the case may be that you like using, and it'll just give you a heads up we're coming on there. YouTube is pretty much the best with that one there. So if you're like me and you're a goldfish and you forget things all the time, because I freely admit I do it all the time, that's the best way.
Keys?
Yeah. Oh, do I learn? I come home. The very first thing I do is put the keys on the hook by the door.
That's 100%.
Only way I can prevent myself from losing them. But every so often I will be tired and forget to do it, and oh my God, that's a bad morning.
I do the same thing with my phone every night, and my wallet, and my watches all go into the same little watch.
Gotta go.
Index F.
Anyway, we're gonna talk about the linebackers. We got 10 linebackers to talk about, because this is another group, to be very frank with you guys, is not a very deep one. There's a couple top heavy guys here. There's some really good prospects here. It's not a nothing, you know, position here, but there's not 20-30 guys in this draft coming out. You're like, oh, these are great linebackers. Now I should also clarify, we say linebackers again, this is a Giants program, so no disrespect to anybody playing outside linebacker in a 4-3, you know, defense there, but that's not who the Giants would be drafting. So we're not talking about those guys. We're talking about the Mike linebackers, the middle linebackers of the 3-4. You know, the guys that the Giants might be interested in drafting. Now, some of these guys may cross over and potentially work as an outside as well, but I'm specifically talking, here's guys who could play inside linebacker for the Giants, basically.
Pretty much, so, yeah.
So, like I said, just to clarify, because I'm waiting for somebody to go, oh, there's this one guy from Miami who plays weak side linebacker. I go, we're not talking about those guys. We're not.
Yeah, they're not a prospect for us.
Exactly. So, and as much as I love other, you know, fans about the teams coming on and watching our program to learn about players in the draft, unfortunately, this one here for you guys, we're scheming it to the Giants specifically, because there's only certain players that fit in our defense, and that's where we're at there. So,
correctamundo.
Now, on top of that, we got some Giants news to go over. We got a new player we signed. We got some more draft rumors. We got,
and Drew will not talk about it for 25 minutes.
No, the new player is not nearly as interesting. To be honest, he's a scrub who probably will look at him again at a training camp.
We'll get to that later.
I'm just saying. It's not like Turbo Miller at that point, where that guy was just amazing story. Like, that guy should be a lifetime movie.
I'm sure he's going to be the next Blindside. That's what I said in the last episode.
See? Except his story will be real.
Yeah.
And we'll have some NFL news for you guys as well. So like I said, plenty of information. Let's jump right into it here. We got the linebacker action here. Let's start off with number 10.
10.
Jackson Sermon. Yeah, very short one. There's not a lot of information. We had videos on this guy here. I mean, he's been playing for some years there, and he's been a solid linebacker. But he is number 10. He's not number 1. Jackson Sermon playing for California the last two seasons here. Before that, played in Washington here, so he likes to likes to play the West Coast there. 6'2", 240 pounds, 23 years old. 2022, he's 12 games, 104 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, 1 interception, 4 passes deflected, and a forced fumble. Now, this past season, he had a biceps injury in October, so that severely shortened his season. Also severely shortened probably his draft stock to a good degree as well there. You want to see a better year the last year. It's hard to see a better year when you play half the games.
Well, yeah, because you're injured.
Yeah. Plus, you always want people to be healthy coming into the draft. Again, this is an October injury. You hope he's healthy by now. But
I was gonna say, it's usually
I'm not a doctor, injury. Damn it.
Yeah. Damn it, Jim.
I'm not a doctor.
Dr. But typically, Zayas, like...
Dr. Zayas. Dr. Zayas.
Dr. Zayas.
Anybody who knows the Simpsons reference I just made, by the way, you are cool. Just saying. Plus, you're probably old like us. That's what everybody wants.
Touché.
Listen, I still think they should make Planet of the Apes the musical. It'd be spectacular. I'd enjoy it.
Yeah. That's actually really funny you say that, because War of the Planet of the Apes was on HBO or one of this.
Well, the new channel. One's coming out. The new one's coming out. They're going to make
it. I know. What I'm saying, it was on the movie channel as I was doing some work before the podcast.
They don't break out a song, though. It's not as cool. Anyway, yeah. With this season here, 6 games, 49 tackles, 3 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 2 passes deflected, 1 forced fumble, and 1 fumble recovery. So similar production. You could say potentially a downtick there, but to be very frank with you, the one thing I didn't look up is when exactly did he get hurt in that game, because it was in the first quarter. Let's be honest, it's really 5 games.
Yeah.
You have to, that's part of that equation when you're talking about trying to just double the math and go, okay, well, this is close to last year's production. But again, he's number 10, guys. He's a guy who's got some good, he's got some bad there, but he's definitely got that bad. As I see you laughing, and I see a new comment, so I'm guessing Connor's there.
Nope.
It's John. It's John.
What's up, John?
Anyway, so Jack's in there as far as the pros. High effort, sheds blockers well, good against the run, very aggressive. The cons, probably peaks at a backup splash special teamer there. And he's we talked about this before, where there's guys who go into categories of try really hard and just naturally gifted. He's the try really hard guy. He's not elite in speed. He's not elite in strength. There's nothing he does exceptional. He just doesn't do anything horrendous. Are you taking pictures of yourself there?
Stop taking
dick pics during the show. God damn it. I've heard you about this before. You don't have to go that far
back.
That's
how we get canceled.
You want to zoom in to make it look bigger.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I was trying
to zoom in. Anyway, Jackson Sermon is one of these guys that if you're looking for somebody who's like a special teamer, a backup kind of guy who can kind of pop in and is not going to embarrass himself there, that's where he's going to be. If you're drafting someone to be a starter, you're probably drafting the wrong guy in this case. It's just where he's going to peak out. And that's why he'll be a day 3 pick. But it's an interesting one for the Giants, because guess what they're really looking for? A backup and a special team. That's what they're looking for. And I think linebacker is one of those positions that we don't talk about enough as Giant fans. Like, we lost a good amount of the backups we have. We talked about that in the last episode as we kind of led into this one here. But, you know, we got obviously Okereke. We got McFadden. We got, you know, Davis coming back from injury. Who knows what he is? Carter Coughlin, who plays special teams and gets confused if you put him on defense because he thinks someone's about to kick the ball. I mean, it's just like that's what we have. A real backup who's not coming off an injury wouldn't be the worst thing. Jackson may fit that bill. Next up.
Coming in next.
Number nine. Maurice Leufu. I always want to pronounce his name wrong. I always try to pronounce it right. Someone corrected us on one of them, by the way, because apparently I mispronounced someone's name. It was a tackle. I hate doing that. So, Maurice Leufu. All righty. Another one with not much video there, except his long, glimmering hair at that point, like Troy Polamalu, like in Head and Shoulders.
He's definitely going to be some Head and Shoulder ads later.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. As soon as I saw that video, I was like, Troy Polamalu. There it is. Anyway, out of Notre Dame, 6'2", 239 pounds, 23 years old. And he's a guy that if you want to pick a guy late in the draft for potential, this is your guy. because he never had to be the number one linebacker there. He never had to be, you know, the star of the show, so to speak. And some people thought that kind of held him back a little bit there, because you got to keep in mind, sometimes you go, okay, well, he never shined. Sometimes based on the scheme, you don't get the chance to shine. You got somebody who's just a little bit better than you, who's one of the best linebackers in this draft. Sometimes you kind of get overshadowed a little bit there. In 22, 13 games, 51 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, half a sack, one interception, one pass deflected, and one fumble recovery. This past year, 12 games, 44 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 2 passes deflected, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, ended up with a PFF score this year of 74.3. Now we have another feature, this one that we haven't talked about too much here. I want to talk about where they lined up as well, because there's a lot of different linebacker type of positions. There's a lot of different ways linebackers can be used here. So, you know, we talked about this on some of the previous episodes and not in others, but where they lined up, it matters in this thing. Same as we talked about with the safeties. So he was at the line 148 snaps, at the slot 19 snaps, in the corner position there 6 times, in the box 421, and deep once. So they basically kept him back a little bit, like a linebacker that you put in coverage, and they put him at the line occasionally. That was his two basically positions that he would put him at. And you go to his pros, and it's obvious to see why he got put in a box situation. He's great in coverage. If you need a guy that you could put in third down basically to cover a linebacker, running back, that kind of thing, this is your guy. He's got a very high football IQ as well. He's a good blitzer, even though he's kind of got limited time frame in that. Like I said, that's kind of what they held him to, a very distant second as far as what they did with him as far as that. But he showed some glimpses in that time he got. As far as cons, he's not an elite athlete, and he's not great against the run. He is specifically a guy that you put into coverage. Could he get better with time? Again, he never had to be. He never got forced into that. They kept putting him in that coverage spot. So sometimes you do that because you know the guy can't do the other things. Sometimes you do that because he's really good at one thing, and unfortunately the rest of his game kind of suffers and never quite grows like it should. I don't know which one. I don't pretend to.
I was about to say, like, once you get put into a position, because like you shine at one thing, you don't have the chance to grow somewhere else. Doesn't mean you can't grow. It just means that you were utilized to your strength, and you were never able to develop any other part of your game. Not to say your weakness, just other parts of your game.
Like, we excel talking about the Giants. We've never gotten a chance to talk about the 31 teams on a regular basis. There's only so much hours in the day, people.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk trash on the Raiders, usually.
The Raiders.
Close to with the best of them. But I think those days are coming to an end. But that's besides the point. I digress.
Anyway, again, day 3 kind of guy that you're going to put in as a passing down situation running back. That you're going to go ahead and have cover, like I said, running backs, tight ends, those kind of guys there, and probably do a very good job of that. And you're going to hope to develop him into becoming a better, well-rounded linebacker that could eventually mold into a starter. But if he doesn't, at least you know he has a role and something he can do very well. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of people that do one thing very well in this league and do it for many, many years. Like punters and kickers. They kick very well.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the title.
I was waiting to go, where?
Wait a minute.
Or long snappers. They snap it very long.
As I say, long. They're not good short snap.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, there's plenty of people that's what they do. They have a specialty, they do it well, and there's a need for it in the NFL, so they get used for that specialty. That's nothing wrong with that. Plenty of people carve out a very good career with that. So, alrighty.
Be jealous.
Number 8. 8 is great. Nathaniel Watson. Here we go. Nathaniel Watson, not to be confused with Randy Watson. Randy Watson.
Randy!
Watson's out of Mississippi State, 6'2", 245 pounds, 23 years old at that point. So he spent 6 years at school overall. Only played in 3 games the first 2 years. So Yeah. It wasn't as much experience as you get as the average person who plays 6 years in the college there. Gets the COVID year, obviously, got the red shirt year, so he got his extra 2 years that way. Played not just inside, but for those who are interested, perhaps, in an outside linebacker, he did play outside linebacker as well in college. In 22, 13 games, 113 tackles, 12 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 1 interception, 1 pass deflected, 1 forced fumble. In 23, 12 games, 137 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, 10 sacks, 1 interception, 2 passes deflected, 2 forced fumbles, and a 72.4 PFF grade overall. That's some production, and that's some production in the SEC, guys. That's something that I'm always impressed with. Let's look as far as the snaps total there, where you got put there. So at the line, 34 times. In the slot position, 52 times. In the corner, twice. No one puts Nathaniel Watson in the corner, just like baby. Box, 652. So it's safe to say he lived at that dancing. Box. He lived at that box. Now he's a playmaker. He's got great length. He's a great blitzer. As we said, 16 sacks in the last 2 years in the linebacker position. There's edge rushers that don't hit that in college, let alone linebackers that don't even go to the line very often, as we just said. He went 34 times to the line, got 10 sacks. Obviously, he blitzed from the box, but I'm just saying, imagine what you can do if you put a guy like that against the quarterback a lot more often. This almost screams to me like the wish. Again, I'm not going to make the comparison and say he's going to be this guy. Like the wish version of Micah Parsons, where they kind of, you know, you're playing him at linebacker. He's a linebacker. Oh, wait a minute. He actually is pretty good at edge. I wonder when I see a player and I watch the film on this guy, I'm like, why did he not get tried as an edge rusher? Like, point blank, you weren't even trying to just go after the quarterback and that's it. And you got 16 sacks in 2 years. If I'm Mississippi State, I'm like, pin your ears back, get the goddamn quarterback.
Yeah, especially because like he's not a small, you know, interior linebacker. Like, he's 245.
Yeah, so, I'm saying like
he's got some mass to him.
Yeah. Now, he does have some issues, though, that you would expect with people that are smaller than he. So he's got trouble getting off blocks. He doesn't have the best range. Again, you think 6'2", he's got to have some decent leg size at that point where he got good stride and can cover some area.
T-Rex.
Like a T-Rex leg-wise. Not that arm short arm, shorter legs. And he also doesn't change direction very well. So if he's got to make a stunt move or something like that from a rushing position, or if he's got to go ahead and shift his hips at that point because whoever he's covering shifted, he's not that good at that. But again, he's that guy who still just shows up on tape at that point. And like I said, I think you're going to see him pop up as somebody that somebody uses as a situational pass rusher to start in this league. And again, try to see if they can develop him into a full-time linebacker. And like I said, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see someone try to convert him to edge. I really would not be. And I'll say this. I've never seen anybody but me suggest that. It's not to say others don't. So maybe I'm talking out of my tuchus here. Who knows?
You could be. You're pretty good. I don't know
what tuchus is. It's a derriere.
And
the hot dog flavored water.
Keep rolling.
What? Behind blue eyes, though.
Yes, even though they can't make a comeback, Fred Durst is rocking just the white hair now.
Yeah, he is. I think he got rid of the
beard. And a full beard instead of just that douchey soul patch.
No, he got rid of the beard now, I think. I think he's back to, like, usual way he dressed. I think it was his way of letting people know, yes, I'm gray now, deal. I'm old.
Oh, yeah. Is he still rocking
the hat? Figure I'm in my early 40s. I figured he's probably got to be in his like mid to late 40s, if that means. Because he was popular towards the end of my high school age, so.
Yeah. I mean, $3 Royal came out in 98, 99. So, yeah, he's
got that was 97, I want to say, which, by the way, spectacular album.
For the time.
Freak in the darkness, remember your misfit. You speak of opinions, you think it's so deep, but you're just an illusion. Confused. Oh, yes. I won't see the whole thing. YouTube will get me for copyright infringement.
Yeah. Well, I went with Pepsi. Well, Pepsi wasn't. Anyway, yeah.
Far from suicidal. Still get tendencies. Bringing back the memories. I remember the whole album. I still do. It's a good album. And I guess it would be nice.
If I could
Anyway, enough Limp Bizkit talk. We're here to talk about linebackers here. Anyway, that's what I think. I think you'll see that. I think you'll see someone, like I said, use him as a situational pass rusher, try to develop into more of a full-time player. Or, like I said, go that Micah Parsons route and say, you're not a linebacker, dude. Look at how you hit the quarterback. You're an edge rusher. But if he's going to be a full-time edge rusher or a situational pass rusher, for him to see a lot of time in the field, he's going to have to figure out how to get off those blocks.
I was going to say, he's going to work on those guys. He's got to work on his range. He needs to watch Rocky 3.
Adrian.
Rocky can do it. I'm a fan, Adrian.
Like I said, interesting pick, though, especially because he put up, you know, some good numbers against a very, very tough, you know, part of college football. It's not like he was playing at some small nothing school and put up that kind of stuff. Speaking of people from small nothing schools,
yeah, point, we do have
Tyrese Knight. Oh yes, that was a bad segue for him.
Wow.
Like, speaking of people from small nothing schools, I mean, let's be honest, UTEP is never going to be the crazy school that gets like all these, you know, great players every single year, but every so often they get a hidden gem here, and that's what you got here. Tyrese Knight, 6'2", 235 pounds. He's one of those guys that no age is given, by the way. It's funny, even on like PFF and all, they just kind of cancel it out like it didn't exist. So he started college in 2018, so you got to figure he's probably around 24 years old. He's probably one of those older players there. 22, 12 games, 95 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 1 interception, 5 passes deflected, 1 forced fumble, which actually, I said 1 fumble recovered, I should say, which actually was a touchdown, and 2 fumbles forced as well there. In 23, 12 games, 140 tackles, 15.5 tackles for loss. That's impressive. Think about that. 140 tackles, which is a ton. By the way, if you don't know that, if you hate to do the math on that, that's a lot. That's a lot. In 12 games, that's a lot. 15.5 tackles for loss. That's more than 10% of his tackles were for a loss. That's pretty goddamn impressive. Then you throw in 4.5 sacks. 7 passes deflected. That's also a very high number. 2 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery. Great run stopper, good burst, playmaker. Good tackler. You see the pictures in the beginning where he introduced him there. Every single picture of him was just slamming someone to the ground. This guy is not afraid of the violence of the game, and I mean that in the positive way. Now, I will say I cannot get a PFF grade of him because PFF really just did not grade him because of what tiny school he went to. I can watch the tape of what I saw, and what I saw was a guy that excelled. But I got to wonder how much of that excelling was because of where he was playing UTEP. It's not exactly like, they play the Alabamas and the Georgias or even the Washingtons and the UCLAs and that kind of stuff of the league. You know, they were playing other small schools, teams you want him to beat the hell out of. But again, he beat the hell out of them.
I was about to say he beat the hell out of them. He showed the grit you need to have it to make it in a sport like this at a high level. So, like, You're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to work on him. Like, he's going to need
to
work on his technique. He's going to need work on his strength. Like, you're going to have to do some work. But at the end of the day, like, that aggression he has, that, like, knowledge of how to, lack of better terms, put someone on their ass, that's something like some
you put can't them on teach their chocolate starfish.
Yeah. you can't teach everyone that. So,
no. And
that. With a little bit of footwork, a little bit, you know, of technique work.
Yeah, he's got to improve his technique. That's one thing. And I think that's partially because of the fact that, again, when you go to a smaller school, not to be disrespectful, but you don't get the same level of coaching as when you go to a big school. You don't.
No.
That's part of it as well. He does need to add some strength. Again, he's 235. I'd like to see him go to like 240 with a little 240s at that point because he doesn't play like a swift linebacker. He plays like a heavy hitter, but he got the average weight. You know what I mean? Like a couple pounds, nothing crazy. He's also got to learn to get better his reads. He's not the best at kind of looking over, seeing what's happening and anticipating. And again, I think that's partially going to come with time and better coaching as well.
Correct.
You know, if you like trying to develop a guy from a smaller school, this is the guy for you. And I'll tell you what, at the very worst, from the tape I saw of him running people down and just throwing them down to the ground, I would take this guy on my coverage team in a heartbeat and then see what you can develop him into as far as on the field. Because, yeah, that's the kind of hitter I like on the team. I like old school football. Yeah. Smash him in the mouth, call it a day, don't apologize, move on, and repeat the process all over again. That's what I like.
Same toes.
I'm perfect. It happens. All righty. Next up, J.D. Bertrand, also out of Notre Dame. All righty. So J.D. is 6'1", 233 pounds, 23 years old, back in 22. 12 games, 82 tackles, 8.5 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks, 3 passes deflected. This past season, 12 games, 76 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, 5 passes deflected, 1 forced fumble, and an 82.4 PFF grade. So very efficient player overall. This is the player we're alluding to before. We talked about his teammate there in Marist Leofu. Because, again, this is now you're talking going from number 9, where Marist was, up to now number 6. Like I said, kind of in that middle of the pack of one of the better linebackers in this draft here. He was the stud of their linebacking core. So it's nice when you see somebody else that scouts and people who routinely watch players have respect for, and they go, okay, this guy's good. But this guy in the same team was the stud of that group, you know? And that's a whole iron sharpens iron kind of mentality at that point there. As far as the snaps, where they put him at, 44 times at the line, 35 times at the slot, 2 times at corner, 566 at the box, never had him deep. So that just, again, tells you what he is. The fact they put him in box very often, the fact they put him in the slot position accordingly, he's not the coverage guy. He's a leader of the football team, though I can tell you that as well. You see him on the sidelines. People go up to him on purpose and reach out to him and want to be around him. He's got that kind of magnetism to him. He's got a high football IQ. He's great in zone coverage specifically. You want to go at one of those smart guys who kind of sniffs out a play and knows where to go to try to get an interception or break up a pass. This is your guy. He's also got a very high motor as well. Consistently moving around, never sitting still, never seems to take a play off. Exactly the kind of stuff you're looking at. As far as the cons on him, he doesn't have that elite athleticism. So, again, this is that hard worker kind of guy. Not a great open field tackler as well. That's got to improve, especially if you're going to be a guy who specializes in zone coverage, because sometimes you're going to be a little off in the zone at that point. You're going to have to go a little bit, couple yards to get the guy right after he catches the ball. And if you're a little bit off on that, that can be a touchdown in some cases. He does need to add a little bit of strength to his play as well. I think he's just watched the way he plays there with some of the guys that I don't think we'll make it to the NFL. He seems to get beat up occasionally at that point there. So I think a little more speed wouldn't be the worst. A little more strength wouldn't be the worst thing for him there.
Yeah, not at all. Like you said, 233, like you like to see him around a little closer to 240 in the low 240s.
Yeah.
So put on 10 pounds, which you're talking about at that point, you're talking about 5% of his body mass, 4%.
Yeah.
But it makes a big difference, especially when you're running at someone 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah.
Newton's law.
Newton's law, yeah, exactly. All right. Let's pay the bills real quick, guys. We are at the halfway point already on these linebackers. Whew.
Enjoying the show? Looking for more goofball action? Consider a membership at buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofballs. Memberships start at just $5 and give you additional goofball access. One-time support payments also available starting at just $3. buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofball.
All righty. And the first comment was from 2 Giant Goofballs, New York Giants podcast, said Rob's face broke his camera. We'll be on just momentarily. To which John said, Roberto, stop face effing your camera. Then John says to Connor, I'm the greatest goofball fan. Hold my beer. I'm the silver back blue giant. Is that a gorilla thing?
Silver diamond. About?
I'm so confused. Oops, I'm the silverback big blue giant gorilla. See, I told you.
There we go.
Which sounds better, LOL. Neither one. Neither one. Then John says, I'd like to see Brendan Rice and Tariq Owens battle it out to be great receivers. That'd be crazy. Any other Suns players that can battle from former players.
We actually have an episode on that, Connor.
Yeah, seriously, John, did you miss an episode? Weesh, that's not like you at all.
Yeah, I was about to say, man.
And I think Tariq, I think Tariq Owens, honestly, will be battling it out for the lead hamburger flipper position with Evan Neal soon. That's all, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's that good. I think if it wasn't for the name, we wouldn't be talking about him. But I think Brandon Rice, like I said, I think he'll have a spot. He's going to be he'll top out at a number two or number three in this league there, but he'll never be a one, but he'll be a solid receiver in this league, I think. Yeah. John says, wish LT had a son great like him that could play for us. Anyone ever DNA test Micah Parsons for LT? No. Do not fall into that trap, John. He is not LT. Micah Parsons is not LT. By the way, I wasn't going to get into this because it's more Cowboy news, and I've heard rumors, and I'm not even sure how true the rumors are. There's been rumors floating around that Micah Parsons is wearing out his welcome in Dallas.
Interesting.
And if you remember, the reason he dropped in the draft to where he went was his personality. Was the issues, the hazing, college issues he supposedly had, that nobody ever really specifically talked about what he supposedly did, but it was kind of a well-known thing that he had some behavioral issues, you could say, in college. So, interesting. But LT, on the other hand, had his flaws, don't get me wrong. Wasn't a perfect human being by any means.
Okay, it's why you stay up crack.
But you never heard a teammate talk trash about him. He was loved by his teammates.
This is true.
That's a huge difference. You could be a jerk to everybody else, and when you're playing football, you probably should be. Like, if you hear Tom Brady talk about how he can't stand the fact that all the quarterbacks are friends nowadays, he said, I love Peyton Manning. He had a quote. I remember seeing him. So I paraphrase. I could be off a little bit. He said, I love Peyton Manning. I have a ton of respect for that man. He's like, but I think I had dinner with him like three times while we played, and that's it. He's like, I never wanted to get close to players. LT was the quintessential of that. Everybody who played against him hated him, but the people who played with him loved him. Micah Parsons seems to be, like I said, wearing out that welcome. John says, no, you guys did an episode on related people, not who can best one another. Well, we kind of did that. We talked about the outcome for these guys. Again, we said Tyreek Owens will probably not even make it in the NFL. He'll probably be a camp body, maybe end up.
That's my son.
Oh my God. Can you imagine T.O. crying while doing push-ups in his driveway again? It'd be spectacular. John says, good, we'll take him. No, I don't want him. Seriously, as good as talent.
Listen, if he's going to have problems like that, like if he's a locker room problem,
if he's, I don't want him. If he got that kind of talent and he's still wearing out his welcome, yeah, good luck. And John says, LT and Waterboy don't smoke crack. Where is, I wonder too, because he's already calling out Connor. Where is Connor? Where's Connor? Where's Deb? Come on, people. You were there. The usual crew.
Everywhere you go. Goofballs are watching you.
We want to hear your guys' thoughts here. So I can see people watching, not commenting. By all means, love to have you. But let us know your thoughts. Put in the comment section. I want to hear other people's thoughts as well. As Deb says, hello, I'm here. I know you're always there. We appreciate you, Deb. but like I said, it's one. Anybody who has any comments too on the players as well, not just John's crazy rants there about LT and Waterboy. So let us know what you think. Because we're going to start breaking into the second half of the linebackers here, which is where we start getting into the players that are a little more household names. Some of you guys, if you don't know the guys we just talked about, you'll probably know some of the guys we're about to bring up here, even if you're just casual fans of college football. Next up, we got number five.
Going to Michigan.
Junior Colson, not to be confused with Agent Colson, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And before we get started, I got to give a kudos to Michigan. And listen, I admit freely, I'm a Jersey boy. I'm going to root for Rutgers, but I have no allegiance to any particular college. When you're looking for, I was looking for all these different, short video clips and stuff like that and GIFs and stuff to make these for the intros for these players. Some of them were very, very difficult, I got to say, for some people that I thought were kind of household names. Junior Colson had like 10 of them. That's how good Michigan was at getting that kind of stuff out. So kudos to Michigan's media team and social media team and all that stuff for getting this stuff out.
We hope so.
Listen, it's a big school. Cool too. You gotta guess what else gonna do? Ice fishing there? I mean, you wanna watch football. Anyway, Junior Colson, 6'3", 247 pounds, 21 years old, so still pretty young. Last year, 22, 14 games, 101 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, two sacks, one pass deflected. This past season, 15 games, 95 tackles, two tackles for loss, two sacks, two passes defended there, and an 81.7 PFF grade. That's a pretty high PFF grade. Again, Michigan. We're not talking about a guy who played in a teeny tiny little school there at that point. This is a guy who played against legit competition pretty much week in, week out. He did move around a little bit more than some of the other guys as well there, but still primarily box, as you expect most linebackers to be. 70 snaps at the line, 50 at the slot, 8 at corner, 534 at the box, and none deep. As far as the pros and cons there, gets off blocks very well. He's strong. He's a good athlete overall. He's also very good in zone coverage, hence why you saw him 50 times at the slot position. As far as the cons, one you can fix potentially, one you can't. Shorter wingspan, kind of hard to fix that one. Unless you,
you just get like a extension.
Go, go, gadget. The other thing is he does take some bad angles sometimes. I mean, I always say, if you watch all 22 and you watch stuff from above at that point there, you can pretty much Monday morning quarterback every single player because you can see things that they have no way at the field of seeing. That's just life. Same if you ever went to a football game and you got nosebleed seats. It's like having the all 22 live. Like you can see stuff.
I guess that's a very optimistic way to looking at getting nosebleeds.
Listen, it is. I mean, I've been there. I've been broke plenty of times in my life, but including now.
But listen, MetLife is not the cheapest stadium out there.
Oh God, it's crazy. I'm telling you, that's one thing I did like about definitely moving here in Florida. It's so much cheaper to go to the football game.
Yeah.
So for those who aren't aware, by the way, we are going to play the Falcons this year. So I'm going to that game. We're trying to get Rob to fly down to go as well. So for those who are interested in going to see an unusual location, the Falcons. I'm also looking to see what happens with the Panthers. We're playing the Panthers this year as well. That might be an interesting game to go to from where I'm at.
Probably be very cheap too.
Probably very cheap. Exactly. And a game we should probably win as a Giant fan. So that's always something to look forward to. Not very often we go into games like that. Anyway, Junior Colson. I'm thinking he's going to be a fourth round pick kind of guy. This is a guy that I think, while you probably don't want to start him right off the bat, you probably want to give him a year to kind of, help with some of the angle issues and, just kind of fine tune him a little bit and to fit your defense a little better at that point. In a pinch, I think you could start him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a run on some of these other guys in a team that needs him to take him in the third round because he's a national champion at this point. Yeah. He's got his problems. They know what the issues are. They know his his positives. I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, if run goes on, he goes a little earlier.
I think the other thing too to keep in mind also with that is again, it's linebacker. That's a position a lot of teams don't like to pay. So if they need a linebacker, a lot of times they're going right to the draft for one. They don't want to pay somebody a couple $1 million. They'd rather pay someone $700,000 out of the draft and move on. So, like I said, I think that's where he should go. And he might go in the third. He might sneak up there and get the third. But I think the fourth round is probably the right spot for him there. But like I said, he's a guy that at the very worst will have a career as a good backup in this league. But his ceiling will be a decent starter. Never probably anything crazy, but a decent starter in this league. So, next up is a guy who's really difficult to read, to be very frank with you. I got to say, out of all the guys' tapes that I watched, I probably watched more tape on this guy than anybody else because I was trying to figure out where do we put him? What do I think of him overall? And that's Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. All righty. So Cedric Gray, again, in North Carolina, 6'2", 235 pounds, just 21 years old. So another young in there. We got a lot of youngins at this whole thing here, by the way, guys. A lot of like 21-year-olds, like they're just old enough to drink and join the NFL, basically. Last season, 22, 14 games, 145 tackles, 12 tackles for loss, one sack, two interceptions, six passes deflected there, three forced fumbles, two fumbles recovery. This past season, 12 games, 121 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, five sacks, four passes deflected. Two forced fumbles, two fumbles recovered, and a 74.0 PFF grade.
Don't forget about his interception.
Oh, yeah, interception. It's a good thing I have the notes here with you as well.
Yeah.
as far as where he's at snap wise, listen, this guy played a lot. This is that guy that just never came off the field. That's part of why he has such a high tackle number. 24 snaps at the line, 76 at slot, 3 at corner, 773 in the box, and 1 deep. This is a guy that there's a lot of pros to, but I watch it and I also go, there's a lot of cons, and I wonder, are those cons limitations he has? Are those cons things that just need to be coached up? And I can't tell, to be very frank with you. This is a guy that he could become a Pro Bowl linebacker and it wouldn't shock me. He could become a backup in this league, it wouldn't shock me. He has that high of ceiling to floor to me. He really does.
Go over the pros and cons.
Pros with him, he's very instinctive. He's good in pursuit. He's got a great burst and acceleration. As far as the cons, not a great blitzer. We talked about the 1 sack in 22. He did manage to get 5 in 23 there. But to be honest, he just happened to, it's almost like, and I hate to say it this way to give this reference, but people mention it all the time, so I'll say it. It's kind of like Kayvon's version of 23. He just happened to get some sacks at a very high rate for what his win rate was against the blockers. He didn't get off blocks very often, but when he did, he just happened to be able to finish it this year. And yes, there's some luck in that. There's some luck in that. And again, I hate to say it because I'm saying it based on Kayvon, but that's what everybody, I keep hearing all of season long is about Kayvon doing that. And they're not wrong when they say Kayvon did that because he kind of feasted on two teams also. But, you know, Cedric Gray is a guy who's been now a couple of years in college that he should be beyond that. He never grew out of that. So,
yeah, I was about to say, he's a guy, like, if he makes the right read, he's the guy that's most likely going to be successful. But if push comes to shove, shoving's getting more done than pushing.
Yeah. And he needs to get better also in drop back coverage. Now, if you have him in the box and you want him to come run up against a hook route, run up against a running back that's you know, trying to be in the flat or a screen or something like that, he's very good at that type of coverage. But the second he has to turn those hips at that point and start running alongside with somebody, it's not good. You have to have a safety back there to kind of cover that, do a soft coverage routine. So I think he works best in a zone coverage scheme at that point. You can kind of try to eliminate some of that. I think he's also going to work pretty good in a spot that counts on the linebacker to do a lot of the run stopping. You know, kind of one of those spots where, like, hey, the tackle is meant just to clog the hole and keep the blockers off the linebacker so he can free up and, you know, take the credit. Kind of like the Ravens did with Ray Lewis all those years. People forget sometimes. Mm. Ray Lewis was great. Don't get me wrong. One of the best to ever play this game, you know. But the reason he was is because they schemed him open by having big fatties in front of him to take on blocks. It was a brilliant scheme. That's why it's worked so well for so many years and continues to work now all these years later since he's retired with new people. But that's the kind of system I think Cedric Gray needs at that point. If he went to Baltimore, it actually be a very good fit now that we're talking about that. I didn't even think about that before. So I didn't think of that reference ahead of time. But, yeah, he'd be a great fit there, I think. Again, I think worst-case scenario, he's a good backup and an excellent special teamer. Best-case scenario, he's a Pro Bowl. I legit that the ceiling and floor is that high for him. So probably tells you he'll probably be just an average starter. That's probably the middle ground.
Well, yeah, you're talking backup Pro Bowl in the middle of his average.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. Chances are he won't hit floor or ceiling. Gets somewhere between. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's,
I think
it'd
be a little more than above average, but yeah.
Mediocre.
Above mediocre. Not quite swell.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 5 or a 6.
Well, 5's average, so 6 is getting kind of good. You get a little more.
Depends if you count 0 or not.
0, 0. 1 is the first part of it.
1 is the loneliest number that there'll ever be. 2 especially is next to 2. 1. Who does number 2 work for? Anyway, on to number 3.
Trace.
This name may sound familiar to Giants fans. We talked about him in the Father Son episode there, and that's Jeremiah was a Bullfrog Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. He was a good friend of mine. anyway, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson, 6 foot even, 230 pounds. Again, just 21 years old. There's a lot of, like I said, a lot of good young talent in this group here. Back in 22, 14 games, 89 tackles, 13 and a half tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, including 1 for a touchdown, 5 passes deflected, 1 forced fumble. This past season, 12 games. Let me reemphasize that. 12 games compared to 14 the previous year, because the numbers are very similar, guys. 2 less games. 88 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, again, 1 for a touchdown, 5 passes deflected, 2 forced fumbles, and 85.7 PFF grade. This guy, to me, I just don't think he gets enough credit. I think people just assume he gets too much credit because of who his dad is. Obviously, his dad was a hell of a player in his day. I hate to say this as a Giant fan because the guy was Eagle Hall of Famer, obviously. But his dad was one hell of a player for many years. He has that same type of potential. But he's not by any means a finished product. He's another guy that you could see starting potentially, but probably really is better off. And I think even more than a guy we talked about with, you know, Junior Colson, even more important, I think he should sit for 1 year just to kind of fine-tune his game there, so to speak. But I think he's gonna be I think he'll be a hell of a player in this league. Kind of like his dad. Not a Hall of Famer, not a Pro Bowler, not a that kind of level guy. But he'd be in the Hall of Very Good. Like that kind of player, yeah. I think he'll end up being, you know? As far as his snaps and where he gets lined up there, 40 at the line, 28 in the slot, 1 a corner, 619 at the box, and 1 deep. His pros, downfield speed, blitzes, good tackler, great in zone coverage with a high football IQ there. Again, it's in the genes there. It's in the genes. As far as the cons, trouble getting off the blocks. Now, also trouble in man, overruns plays, can be beaten to the outside. And this is where you get into the physical stuff. Trouble getting off blocks. You're just barely 230 pounds.
Yeah.
You're six foot even. When do we have trouble in man coverage, especially at a jump ball? You're giving up height there. You know, can't, you know, hit, you know, all these things that you see can be beaten to the outside. It's a physical limitation. He's not the fastest guy in the world. This is a guy that has to be put, I think, in the right spot as a situational blitzer kind of guy that's going to go ahead and play linebacker on a regular basis. And again, be that old school kind of linebacker that just sits there and goes after the running back. And you can put him again in the smaller, you know, picture as far as his own coverage guy against the flat routes, the hook routes and stuff like that. But don't expect him to cover someone deep because he's going to get burned. So
correct,
but
he did it once.
Yeah, and you put him in the right spot, though, he could be a hell of a player. He really could. He'd be a hell of a player.
Yeah, get him on some box jumps and some beefcake. Yeah, 5,000
beefcake.
Yeah, black.
Wait a minute, we're selling protein and car insurance
exactly at once. Oh yeah,
amazing. Geico. What do you think about that?
Same
Geico.
The band Aerosmith involved in this now. Blink of an eye, you finally see. All right. Next up. A very controversial player here coming up. That honestly, I remember I said we were talking about Cedric Gray a little bit, that I was kind of very much like, where do I put this guy? Where is the fence on this guy? Where this is another guy that I got him pretty high because of how well he played in college. But there was some internal discussion of where to put this guy because of some issue. And that's Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. All right. So Edgerrin Cooper, 6'3", 230 pounds, 22 years old. In 22, 11 games, 61 tackles, 17 tackles for loss, 0 sacks, 1 interception, 5 passes deflected, forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. This past season, 12 games, 84 tackles, 17 tackles for loss, 8 sacks, 2 passes deflected, 1 fumble recovery, and 2 forced fumbles with a 90.8 PFF grade, guys. That's pretty damn high. And you can see what his position was. He wasn't the coverage guy. He was the attack the line guy. He was the cause chaos. He was the cause havoc kind of guy. and he definitely caused some havoc. I mean, again, 84 tackles, 17 tackles for loss. That's a pretty damn good ratio. That's pretty damn good ratio, though. You know, it doesn't take a genius to do the math, so I'll do it for you. 17 times 2 is 34. Did you do both years?
Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't know where I was going with this, see? So 61 plus 84, 145. So at 145, he had 34 of those. That's 23%.
Oh, she's off.
That's a freaking decent number of tackles for loss. So almost a quarter of his tackles were behind the line of scrimmage, guys. You want to get NFL scouts' attention. That's how you do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much.
Every 4 year tackles are behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to get someone's attention. As far as where he played, too, that's part of the impressiveness. Just 66 snaps at the line. So it wasn't like they kept on moving him up and moving him up and moving him up like that and trying to sneak an extra lineman basically in this game. That's not where he played. Played 82 times at the slot position. Again, eight corner spots, 453 in the box. As far as pros and cons there, plays spy very well. And I don't mean that he's, you know, an extra from Secret Invasion. I mean, like, he is a guy that will go ahead and spy on whatever player you need him to spy on. And I think people always think of QB spy, obviously. It's not always QB. But if you got a running quarterback and you tell him you keep an eye on him and you keep him, you know, from getting out, guess what he's going to do? He's going to stop him from getting out. You got a running back that's just a prolific running back at that point, have a great running game. You put him on that guy and say, your job is to keep an eye on this guy. That's what he did in college. And I'll be honest, that partially inflates those numbers that he had, and that's partially why. Because he went after one specific target, and that was his job. And a lot of the time, that guy was somebody who was behind the line of scrimmage to start with. It wasn't like he were putting him on the wide receiver one. He's a linebacker. That'd be ridiculous. You're putting him on quarterbacks, you're putting him on running backs, and you're having him spy like crazy. He's fast. He's got really long arms, and he's aggressive. All this lends towards great in spy and great getting guys behind the line of scrimmage. Here's the problems you're running into with him. And a lot of it is because of the scheme he did. And this is part of the equation of why I'm a little confused where to put this guy. But we got him at number two because of just how well he was and what he was asked to do. I hate to penalize a player ever for doing well at what they were asked to do and not given the opportunity to show what he could do otherwise. That's not his fault. So I don't want to penalize him for that. But I can see where somebody could, because he didn't have a lot of experience in coverage. That wasn't his thing. Again, he was a spy. He was the KGB.
Yep. He was not the spy to shag me.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
Behave.
Let's see. Then he was overly aggressive at times. And again, I can't complain on that spot when you're getting, you know, 17 tackles for loss and 8 sacks with only 84 tackles on the year. I'm not going to complain about that too much. But obviously that does lend to big plays. But you also, again, we talked about it, 23% of your plays that you did do tackles on were behind the line, which are obviously big plays. So, you know, take the pros with the cons.
Crazy is either the Steelers or the Raiders. Think about who they have to play in that division.
You know who I could see really being interested in him and I think would be amazing opportunity for him to showcase himself on a very big stage? A team like Cincinnati or Buffalo that has to go ahead and try to stop Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he goes to the Steelers, he's going to be spying Lamar. He's going to be spying Burrow. And who's the running back over there? And then they got Chubb he gets a spy on. So that's like three teams specific where he's going to have to face Chubb may be
being spied on by the doctor's office still. I mean, we'll see what happens with Nick
Chubb. You're not wrong.
See what happens with Nick Chubb. I'm just saying, I could see a team
that... And that's what I'm getting with the Raiders, too. It's like, because the Raiders are going to be better this year. And then you got Justin Herbert, besides Patrick Mahomes, you got to be in that division. And, I mean, Broncos is Broncos.
Yeah, I can see a team, though, like I said. I think wherever he goes, it needs to be a team that already has leadership set in place with a strong culture to it. Because the other con, and I haven't put on the list here, because it's a lot of rumors right now. There's a lot of rumors always about a lot of players. Is that he does not interview well with teams. And that there's some personality concerns. And honestly, if it wasn't for those concerns, I would probably have him at number one because I like his tape and I like what he does that much. Because again, I'm not going to hold it against him what he was asked to do, and he did it as well as you can do.
And we both been in managerial roles. Sometimes you get the guy and you think he's going to be all right, but he's a stud that just can't interview him.
That is part of it.
Like you look at the resume.
That is part of it. But yeah, I think that you got to look at, like I said, some of what's going on there and go, yeah. Is that what's going on? Is that the issue with him? You know, is that why he's not being talked about so much? Because the guy we're about to talk about, I mean, I've seen people in the comments already talking about him, you know. Especially Mark here talking about him.
I say Mark's been blown up the spot.
I know. But entering Cooper's guy is not getting a lot of hype. And if you look at what he did at the combine and everything, he was a potential first round talent because that's the kind of physical abilities he has. His interview process has killed it to where he's probably a second or third round because he scared some teams completely off. That's how bad the interview process has been from what I hear. Again, I'm not in the room. I don't know. Could be people blowing smoke up, you know, whose butt at that point, you know? I don't know. As long as it's not my butt. Anyway, let's get on to number one. Number one. Number one, Peyton Wilson, NC State. Come on. I don't know why it stopped it halfway through now. What's going on, video? Let's try it again. Number one, Peyton Wilson. There he is. Now we got it right here. It's like amateur hour here. Come on. Anyway, Peyton Wilson, 6'4", 238 pounds, 23 years old at NC State. In 11 games, 82 tackles, 12.5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, 1 interception, 3 passes deflected. This past season, 23, 12 games, 138 tackles.
A little big jump there.
Yeah. 17.5 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 3 interceptions, 6 passes deflected. Oh, and I should say, one of his
interceptions. One of his pick six.
For a touchdown. Yeah, that's a pretty nice play there. 2 fumble recovery, 1 forced fumble. 89.9 PFF grade overall there. Now, he is a guy that did spend a decent amount of time at the line compared to some of these guys there. Part of the why he's got all these tackles for loss. 173 snaps at the line, 44 at slot, 1 at corner, 490 at the box, 7 playing deep as well. So they really put him all over the place there. You don't put a linebacker as your deep guy very often.
No.
And if you look, most of these guys are like 0 or 1. He's got 7, which don't get me wrong, 7's not a high number, but that means they trusted him back there to do it more than once. He plays and moves extremely fast. This has got, like, when you talk about play speed, there's a difference between the guy who runs fast on the track and the guy who runs fast on the field with cleats and the whole uniform on. He's that guy. Now, don't get me wrong, he does run fast on the track as well. He is a very athletic person. He does well at taking on blocks. He's a good blitzer. He's not the strongest in the world. That's the one big knock on him as far as his play. So he may not be the strongest in run support because of that.
I want to say that's his biggest.
That's not his play, what I'm about to bring up here. But he is... Again, not to upset Deb there. I'm not trying to bring up Michael Penix again, but I am kind of in a way. He's the Michael Penix of linebackers. And what I mean by that is he's had some major injuries, and that's going to scare some teams off. He's got 2 ACL tears and a shoulder injury. Sounds familiar, like somebody else we talked about, right? So this is a guy that if the medical checks out, nothing should scare you that. Even if you go, he might not have a long career, it might be a 5-6 career. He's going to be a special player from the get-go. I really think that. He's the guy that is going to be a really good above-average starter from the second you put him on the field. And because of that, he'll probably go in round 2. If it wasn't for the injuries, I would think he would go round 1. I think some people will take him off their entire draft board because of that, you know? So... And I'll say this, I don't like to pick comments out necessarily during the thing, but we'll go through all the comments later. I know Mark loves him, and Mark just put, if I remember right, Honey Badger benched like five times at the combine. He turned out okay. He's also a safety, not a linebacker. There is a difference. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I again, it's not like, oh my God, this guy's a bad player because he needs to have a little strength. It's just that's the one knock on him is you do see him occasionally not the best at shedding blocks that when people are running after him at the second level at that point. He's not the guy who, you know, takes people down with force like that. You see that in some of the players there. But he's so quick. He's so athletic. He's so quick to react to things. He reads the play so well. He's got the high football IQ that you put up with that. Everybody's got a downfall in the NFL. There's not one player that you go, oh, this guy's perfect.
Pretty much.
Even Patrick Mahomes, who's like the poster boy of the NFL, he's got his voice. He sounds like Kermit
the Frog here. It's going to throw you the football. And they're going to host you a new Muppet special.
And then he's got his family. No one likes his wife. I don't know why. I have no problem with her personally, but no one seems to like her.
You're right.
And his brother's kind of a schmuck.
Oh, did you see the Instagram video where his brother tried to get into a club after they won? and Brittany Mahomes already walked in. And she just looked up and kept walking in.
No one seems to like him, even the family.
Maybe that's why I didn't like him.
But anyway, Peyton Wilson, like I said, he'll be a stud. He's a guy that I would definitely say to go ahead and take. I think, though, that for the Giants' perspective, we have too many needs way above him, and I don't see that happening. Plus, we all know the history of ACL tears at MetLife Stadium. I know it's not scaring me that the guy that I mentioned a minute ago, because I'm going to take the chance because of the position. I'm not going to take that kind of chance on a linebacker when they already have a stud linebacker in Okereke, and they already have Micah McFadden, who's proven to be a decent second linebacker potentially. So, you know, and now if he falls to like the third, fourth round, let's go. But I was also going to make me question his medical then. Going to make me question his medical. Now, what I would love to do if someone drops, we're talking about third, fourth round. Let's say third, fourth round, we go, let's get a linebacker. I think it's time to get the bullfrog, Jeremiah Trotter, at that point. Because if you can go ahead and get Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and John Runyon Jr. in the same offseason just to piss off the Eagles after they signed Saquon, I'm there. Let's go. Let's go. F you, Eagle fans.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, we'll have John Runyon and Jeremiah Trotter in the stands rooting for the Giants. What now? Deal. Oh, it'd be spectacular. It would be. But yeah, he actually would be a good fit, I think, too, actually, for the team. He's somebody who I'd look at if we want to go that early. I don't think we'll go that early. I think we'll go later. You know, I think getting a guy like either Bertrand from the Notre Dame Fighting Irish there be a good fit because he's a good coverage guy. We always have coverage, you know, issues with tight ends for how many years? Get a good coverage guy. You know, Tyrese Knight, if you really want to go with somebody, again, to be a potential project guy that at least start off as a special teamer, I like him a lot. He's got that potential to have that high ceiling. So I like potential guys when you're going late. Because you need to listen, when you're going late, half these guys aren't going to make it past the backup special teamer point. So if they're going to be late, have a little fun with it. You know?
That's fun.
Go with it and go for a guy that you're going for the moon, shooting for the moon with at that point. I was about to say,
your three and four is kind of like your gamble.
Yeah.
I'll
disagree with that. Third and four should be your backbone guys. They're not your stars. They're kind of the backbone of the team kind of guys. Now, the Giants tend to gamble in those spots, but I disagree with that theory. That's what they've done for so many years, and it hasn't panned out. And that's why our third round people are the Josh Azudus of the world. When you could actually get a decent player in the third round, usually. Sorry, a little rant there.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of Joe Shane, like, the way he's drafted.
Okay, I mean, Puka Nacua, when did he go in fourth round?
He went, I think, fifth round, actually.
Yeah, that was kind of a gamble because no one knew how good he was going to be. And he was pretty much
it was a gamble, year. But actually, that was the guy that, and we talked about him last year. We said,
you know,
good guy, tries hard, blocks well, does all the little things at that point, and you know, seems to want to excel at the game. And no, we didn't expect him to be that good, but that's the guy you take a chance on in the later round. If you think, okay, smaller school, let's see if we can get him in the big ticket and see what he does. You know, that's when you take your chance. That fourth, fifth round, you know, not third, fourth, but you know, if you're a late fourth round pick, you're practically a fifth round anyway at that point. But
pretty
you know, and you're sixth and seventh at that point is when you're trying to go ahead and get, you know, your special teams and emergency positions kind of stuff filled. Hey, I'm thin on depth of this position. Let me just grab a linebacker. Let me just grab a running back. You know, that's where you're at.
Pretty much.
All right, let's get to those comments here. And then we got some NFL news and some Giants news here, guys. So it's going to be a nice little long episode here. We're an hour and 10 minutes in. We'll probably have 10 minutes talking these, then the other 15 minutes or so probably talking news here. So prepare for the long haul. Oh, yes.
Oh, geez.
John says T.O. didn't get drafted to the third round. Again, he went to a Chattanooga State. Is that the school he went to or something like that? I want to say.
I think so.
Like, Chattanooga's not even a big city, let alone a big school. I know. It's got a very nice aquarium, though. Very nice aquarium. John says maybe his kid does good in the NFL because you never know. No, he won't do good. He had three colleges to go to, but he didn't make it. Mark says, what up, guys? What's up, man? Says Peyton Wilson. He's going to be a steel tackling machine and awesome in coverage. Big knee with all these patch-catching tight ends. Are tight ends catching patches now? Are they iron-on patches?
And catches.
Well, you better, he says... Peyton Wilson reminds me a lot of Zach Thomas, Blake Martinez, nose for the ball. You know who he kind of reminds me of? And listen, I'm going to get slack for this, but I'm going to say it. Especially because, you know, he's not that huge linebacker guy. Again, 238, not a horrible size. But I think he's going to play smaller than what he is because of his athleticism. And I think like a Luke Kuechly kind of style. He's not going to be that good of a player because Luke Kuechly was an amazing player. But he's going to play that type of football, I think. Where he's going to count his speed, count athleticism and stuff like that. And you need a little help to keep him unblocked in the game. He then says, if you haven't seen his highlights, watch. He's good. Of course we watch his highlights. We're talking linebackers.
Yeah.
We're talking linebackers here. Meanwhile, what's up, man? Says, do you think the Giants Drake May or try to trade up to three pick? We're going to talk about that in a minute because some news came out today. Mark is continuing with his love for Peyton Wilson, saying ran a 4.43 40. El Capitan, what's up, man? He says, hello, what's up? We're off at the building. What's up, man? Mark says, had 140. He's still on this. Hold on. We're going to skip through some of this, Marcus.
I was going to say, he went through a lot.
He's got a whole.
He told us about his 40 with the 4.43.
He's like, are you aware he uses an orange toothbrush? Let's see. Mark says, do you prefer a pass rushing linebacker or a run-stopping linebacker? We need rushers, but I like strengthening our run defense. I like two things I like, personally. This is based on the Giants' strength. Because, again, keep in mind, we got Dexter Lawrence, so you're getting rush up the middle that a lot of teams don't get. You got Brian Burns now. You got Kayvon Thibodeau. Why am I drawing a blank right now? Though he does run as well at that point there. Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank at the kid from Georgia that's always hurt. Why am I doing that?
Oh, sneeze.
Aziz Ojulari. There we go. Why am I drawing a blank there? I was having a senior moment. Sorry, guys. And, you know, you got guys who do the pass, going to rush at that point. What we always need is guys who can cover because, again, tight ends always whoop our. I would love to get a guy who's that kind of like a Miles Jack kind of guy, like when he came out, that was a specialty guy at covering running backs and tight ends and a run stopper, because we did have trouble stopping the run last year. I do think part of that is the scheme. I think part of that is the Wink scheme, though. I think you're going to see that a little better this year. I really do. Not trying to hate a guy on his way out there at that point, but teams specifically, because he blitzes so often, it leads to guys, if they get sneak past that first line, there's not much there to help behind them. So I think a pass rushing linebacker is not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I think a run stopping linebacker is not a bad thing as well. And that's probably number two on my needs. But number one is a coverage guy. We need a coverage guy. All right. Let's get into the news here, guys, because we got some news to go over here. So first up, we got the Giants news.
It's time for the news.
Yeah. So Mel Kiper, the guy who's been doing mock drafts now since the first, I think, draft of people wearing leather helmets back in the 20s, as his hair also resembles a leather helmet. his latest mock has us taking Malik Nabers as number 6 there, and then trading up with the Panthers again. See, the like Panther trades. We got Brian Burns already. Getting number 33 from them, though he didn't mention what we gave up fully to get that. But taking Bo Nix then as a quarterback second there. I like the first half. I can't say I love the second half, but again, whatever quarterback we take, I'm going to support. I'm saying that right now, whether I like him or not. I'm going to support. I'm going to trust Dable and Shane because they have somewhat of a track record thanks to Josh Allen. And let's be very frank. There's a lot of people with Josh Allen and Joe Shane and, you know, and the Buffalo guys. There are some apologies because if you remember right, there was a lot of people going, wow, really? The Buffalo Bills traded up twice and they got Josh Allen? Like, Josh Allen was not this prized possession prospect. He was the big project guy that people thought, was nowhere near as good as guys like Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold. I remember laughing about it too, going, oh my God, really? That's who they took? That's who they wanted?
Yeah, circle the wagon. Let's just give them four of the picks and probably the best quarterback out of that class.
Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah. They made the right move. So like I said, I'll trust him no matter what. Now, as far as what quarterbacks they really like, though, Pat Leonard, again, everybody's least favorite Giants beat reporter there, said, I got a text from a source. A lot of conversations about who the Giants may like and where they may go. May is the guy. Ralph Facchiano of Fox Sports said that if the Giants are tempted to trade up for a quarterback, they'd be tempted by one player, and this is North Carolina's Drake May. I can validate and verify that is where the arrow is pointing. Now, I'll say this, as much as we don't like Pat Leonard, because he just seems to love when the Giants have bad things happen to them. I don't know, he just does. He said some outlandish things before that haven't been 100% off base. He was the first one to report about us getting tired and wanting to trade away Kadarius Toney. He was then wrong. We all made fun of him, said he was wrong at the time. You know, made no sense. Why would you trade away a guy who just had a promising rookie season? We obviously didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. Obviously, he heard. So he's not always wrong. So take that for what it is. Not saying he's always right either. And the Giants definitely put out fake news all the time at that point to keep people off the scent of the real trail. So we'll see. And I would say this, because of some of the stuff he's said and done, he's probably not the favorite in the Giants building either. So I wouldn't put it past someone to leak him wrong information on purpose. So
that would be fantastic. Yeah.
Next up, rumor-wise here, there's also a rumor that the Giants will be revealing a new alternate helmet for the upcoming season. So people are already posting, though, all kinds of fake alternate helmets. Nobody knows what it's going to look like yet. So if you see it, check the source. I saw one that somebody did. It was an all-white helmet with the New York logo thing on it. And somebody trying to claim it's that. It actually didn't look that bad. I didn't hate it, actually. Change of pace. Gotta do a change of pace. Who knows? Maybe they'll do the red helmets, like the red jerseys they used to do back in the day.
It's funny because when they stopped doing it after Plaxico Burress shot himself, right?
Yeah, well.
He must have been at a club with an away jersey on.
Had to soak the blood up somehow.
Yeah.
No one will know. No one will know. No one will know. But yeah, like I said, interesting. We got more comments here from Darren Waller in the segment I'm going to call now, You Need to Shut the Fuck Up. Seriously, like, I want to say this before I even say this. Let's get his comments, and then I'll go on my rant on this. Okay. He was asked if he would let the Giants know his answer before the draft. He said, that would be ideal, but I also don't want to put that on myself. It's got to be before summer break, that's for sure. I'm going to give you a little lesson here. Hold on. I don't do this. I don't do this very often in the show. And I don't mean the coughing. I do that all the time.
As you
do. For those on video, we're going one camera shot for a second here. Oh, yes. Darren Waller, if you're watching, this is for you. Important information that you don't seem to have. You need to have. Because a reporter asks you a question doesn't mean you have to effing answer it. Shut up. This is why fans are getting upset. Because you keep talking. Shutty up in your face. Take your time to make your decision. But stop leaving people on eggshells. Just shut up. When you make your decision, that's when you talk. Until then, zip it. Zippy long stockings. No more.
Listen, you've been in the room with Joe Shane. You've been in the room with Brian Dable. What do they do when they tell the press when they don't say anything? Yeah, we'll get to that later. We'll talk about that later. We'll pass that when it happens. They deflect.
Because this is what happens.
You don't have to come up with something that you think what sounds nice, but you make yourself sound like a freaking idiot.
It's not that he sounds like an idiot.
He's been doing a really good job with it.
It's not that he sounds like an idiot.
I should say idiot. It's that's the wrong thing.
Every
very
time
indecisive. He doesn't know what he's going to do. Like he's, it's like,
every time you make a comment, you're an article. Because this is a big story right now. Will he retire? Will he not retire? every single time you make a comment, and it involves whether or not you're going to retire, it's going to be an article. It's the off season. It's going to get some traction. So if somebody asks you, Darren, if you're going to go ahead and retire, when's your deadline? Anything with retirement? The answer should always be plain and simple. I don't need any further comments on this. As soon as I have any information to give you guys, I will share it at that appropriate time. And shut up. This is why Giants fans get annoyed, because we feel like we're getting yo-yoed back and forth at this point. I know you probably have something going on in your life at that point. Huh? I know you probably have something going on in your life where you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. I don't think this is as simple as I don't want to play with Daniel Jones again, like some people are saying. There's something else going on in his life. And I'm trying to be respectful of that. I really am. But, dude, you're doing it to yourself. Just shut up. Stop talking to the media.
If you Marshawn Lynch this, people probably give you more respect. I'm just here so I don't get in trouble.
Or just say, listen, I don't have to Skittles. Be here and I can't get fined. Just say it that way.
Yeah.
There's no requirement for you to talk to them. You're in the off season. Shut up. Shut up. It's like he's afraid to get jumped by the media if he doesn't answer all their questions. You're bigger than them. I've seen the media. Those guys are like 5'4" people.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who were the statisticians. They were the statisticians for the high school football team, okay? Let alone college, goddammit. Shut up. Stop talking to them. I just don't get it. Like, what does he gain? You know, like I want to sit there and say he wants to be nice and just not be rude to them. But just be rude. We're telling you, be rude.
You're in the New York market. We're rude.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, okay. I don't know. I guess we're quasi media ourselves, I guess. Like I wouldn't be pissed off at that comment if he said that. I'm like, oh, God damn, I was hoping to get something out of him. But I wouldn't be pissed off if you say, I'm sorry, I don't have anything more to comment on that situation. And as soon as I do, I'll let you all know. Like, I wouldn't be pissed. Like, God damn it, I wish I got something. Because I'm telling you, every time he opens his mouth, somebody's going, yes, got the article to write.
I'm going to take those 8 words that he gave me, and I'm going to write 800 words on it about something I think what he meant off this.
And what I mean by I'm going to write 800 words, I'm going to pop a couple of words into ChatGPT and see what happens.
Yeah.
But, again, that's just my thing. Just shut up, Darren. Shut up. And I mean that with love. I don't even mean that to be a jerk. I honestly think he's just a nice guy and hates saying that kind of stuff to people. But you're making the situation worse for yourself at this point, man. You really are. Just stop talking to the media. Tell them you have nothing.
Just don't do it.
And if they keep on pushing you, say that, you know what? You're off my list of people that I'm going to let know when this happens now.
Yeah.
You have that power, you know. Anyway, let's get off Waller here. Let's get on to Isaiah Simmons here, because they revealed the money. And it wasn't that much money, as we said it wouldn't be. 1 year, $2 million, $1.4 million guaranteed. So that $1.4 guaranteed means, yeah, he's probably going to make the roster, because you pretty much guaranteed, you know, 75% of his money there.
Yeah.
But $2 million, not a lot of money. Like I said, they're not confident where they want to play and where they want to be. They just want a year to see if he can fit in this new defense. That's what I think. So we'll see what happens there. Again, backup guy. Use what he does good. You know, don't expect too much. That's what he should be. In retirement news, former Giants safety Logan Ryan, former defendant in a case against the Giants as well, because he sued the member for money when they cut him, has retired. You know, kudos to him on a nice long career. I think that, you know, he's a guy that you're going to see a lot of. He does a lot of charity work. People that aren't aware of what he does work-wise, he does a lot of charity work, especially with animals specifically. So you'll probably see a lot of him now doing advocating work and stuff like that there. He's actually the one that got Tom Brady into volunteering at the local ASPCA or Humane Society, one of the two, I forget which one he did, once a week there with his kids when he was playing here in Tampa. So like I said, he does a lot of charity work with dogs specifically and stuff like that. So, you know, that's definitely something near dear to my heart, my family's heart there. Pets are family as far as we're concerned in this house. So yeah. So we both like that. Giants made a signing. Oh, yes. We signed a guy. Oh, yes. Let's be excited until we hear about him. Yes. This one does not get the attention that Dante Miller got there. Miles Boykin, third-round pick of the Ravens back in 2019 from Notre Dame. And he started off with a decent start to his career and has quickly turned into Quasimodo. 198 yards there back in 2019, 266 yards in 2020. So nothing crazy, but, you know, a legitimate part of your receiving core at that point, you know, a back end receiver. Since those 2 years, he's had just 34 yards in the last three seasons with 41 games, just one start.
It sounds like a stellar practice squad.
Like I said, camp body.
Yeah.
What do you need someone to fill that roster? What are you going to get? Camp body. I mean, again, you need those kind of guys for training camp. I'm okay with that. I just don't expect him to make the roster.
No.
We'll see what happens there. And I'm looking here because there's a question I don't know the answer to, by the way, from Mark. So I'm kind of like trying to find out.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm literally Googling it. Okay, I think I found it. So we'll go over to that in a minute. We go back to the questions there, Mark. Well, I think I found the story. One more bit of news here that I'm hoping is happy news. But I got to say, guys, I'm cautiously optimistic about this because it was presented as happy news. But sometimes this happens also for bad reasons. But it's presented as good, so I'm going to take it as good. Isabella Strahan, the daughter of Michael Strahan, who revealed she had cancer early this year, shared on YouTube that she'll be completing her chemo treatments in May, when she was originally scheduled to have treatments through June. Typically, there's two reasons you cancel treatments. Very good reasons or very bad reasons. Again, it was presented as happy news, so I'm going to take it as the very good, and I hope that's what it is. And obviously, we'll continue to keep her in our prayers there, so I'm sure many Giants fans will. And probably, to be very honest, just fans of Michael Strahan in general, because he's had that kind of post-playing career. But it's, that's something you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy at that point, having their kid who's supposed to be going off to college, building a life and stuff like that, having to deal with cancer. That's not cool. That's one of those things that just never seems fair when you read about it. Let's get into more happy news. So let's go to the NFL news here, which some of it's not so happy there either. Just fair warning. We're going to go into it. So news around the league here. So
run the league.
I read this today. Bears wide receiver Tyler Scott changed his uniform number from 13 to 10. Now, there is two reasons you could sit there and say that. They got Keenan Allen in the offseason, who used to always play in wear number 13 for the Chargers for many years. But they're also planning on drafting somebody first overall who wears number 13 in college. So people are going to read into that either way at that point. I didn't think it's that big of a thing, but what the hell? We'll throw it out there for you guys at that point there, because it kind of gives you another tea leaf to the obvious news that Caleb Williams will be drafted first overall soon. Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice. We didn't talk about earlier when everything started going down with him at that point there, but we'll give you this little bit of news now that he has officially gotten an arrest warrant for him for stemming from a hit-and-run incident he had a few days ago in Dallas. I think it was, a Lamborghini and a Corvette were like racing at ridiculously high speeds or something like that.
Yeah, I believe it was Lamborghini.
Yeah, so.
But apparently it was one of those. Yeah, apparently what I heard, like, it wasn't his. He wasn't driving. It was a rental. His friend, but he rented it.
Was it past midnight? Herm Edwards says nothing good happens after midnight.
Nope.
I disagree with him, but I don't have that kind of lifestyle where I get into high speed chases with a Lamborghini and a Corvette. That's not my life. My life is where I went to a dive bar and had way too many drinks.
And was probably home before midnight because I did pass my...
No, I'm still out there till like 1, 2 o'clock, no problem. I also take a nap beforehand, though, so I cheat.
I was about to say, so you're cheating, all right.
I'm cheating. I'm a cheater here.
I haven't got old enough where I'm taking naps before I go out.
It is what it is. Listen.
A cup of coffee.
Naps work, I'm telling you.
Then I have a beer, and then my coffees work.
They work. I want to go over with you guys another thing in Giants somewhat related, because these two players will probably be linked for a little bit here potentially right now. You have a new contract there by Josh Allen, who signed a 5-year, $150 million contract. And I've seen some people in social media now start comparing him and Brian Burns, because Brian Burns obviously signed a 5-year, $142 million contract with incentives that'll take it to the same $150 that Josh Allen got. Now, here's what started it. There's one specific post that I have up at that point that kind of annoyed me that's going to show it this way. They kind of compared last season specifically. So, yeah, if you're going to compare against a guy with 17 and a half sacks against a guy with 8 sacks, yeah, it's not going to look very good. But when you get into the actual career of it, and I only give you guys this information because I don't want other people seeing this and being not aware of Josh Allen's career as a whole, because everybody looks at the last season, that's it. For their careers, and keep in mind, they were both the same exact class. They both have 5 years in the league now. Josh Allen has 45 career sacks. Brian Burns has 46. Burns has 246 tackles in his career. Allen, 251. Burns has 59 tackles for loss. Allen, 53. Very similar career numbers. The main difference is Josh Allen had 17 sacks last year, and in the prior three seasons combined, had 17 sacks. He had one spectacular season that, for all we know, is a career year. Not saying I hope that. He seemed, by all accounts, to be a good kid, so you know, hopefully that continues for him. I got no hate for the Jaguars. Brian Burns, on the other hand, is a guy who has been more of a consistent guy. He's been that 8 to 12 sack guy for his whole career, basically. On top of that, he's played on really, really crappy offenses where the opposing team for the second half is basically running the ball nonstop just to end the game already. So he doesn't have as many opportunities to rush the passer that Josh Allen has, because he has Trevor Lawrence up opposite him. He also has never had a good second rusher, which, as much trash talk as we had about Trayvon Walker's rookie season, he had 10 sacks last year.
Yeah, can't take that away.
He was a good second rusher for the Jaguars. So there's a lot of reasons that Brian Burns, when you look at the numbers, you can sit there and say Josh Allen's a better player. And listen, based on last year, I would tell you Josh Allen is a better player. But for their career, they're very similar numbers-wise. I just want to kind of put that out there for people, because I'm hearing a lot of comparisons now to Brian Burns and Josh Allen because, again, same year drafted, same year getting the big contract, and the contracts were very similar. But people are looking at the 17 sacks the 1 year with Josh Allen going, what the hell? Brian Burns is not that player. Technically, for his career, Josh Allen hasn't been that player.
Yeah.
Because you can't look at 1 year, guys. You got to look at a career. Unless it's a 1 year contract. Then you can go, okay, take a shot, see if you can repeat it. But that's a lot of money to give to a guy off of 1 year. What if he goes back to doing 17 sacks the next three seasons combined?
Yeah, if he starts to have six sacks a year.
Yeah, and Brian Burns is still doing 9 or 10. So you're going to say Brian Burns is the better player in the long run. So we'll see who has the better career overall. It's not to say either scenario will happen. I'm just saying, don't look at just last year's stats, guys, because there's a lot more to stats. Like Mark Twain said, there are lies, there are damn lies, and then there are statistics.
Mm.
He wasn't wrong there. So,
smart day.
And that ends the show here for you guys here today. So keep in mind, again, it's Wednesday, which means we're back tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh, yes.
And tomorrow, and like I said, guys, we will be back here a lot lately for you guys. So again, we've got everything already scheduled out for you guys. Keep in mind, we'll have the week of the draft, we're going to be live. I won't say live every day, we'll have an episode every day. Whether we'll be live, we'll figure out based on me and Rob's schedule at that point. Maybe you have to do one, you know, pre-recorded there at that point, but we'll have a fresh episode for you guys every single day that week. So to give you guys the rundown here real quick of where we're at here, because you know some people have been asking where we're at, what's going on here, because we still have some things to cover, and we got a lot of news leading up to the week of the draft there to give you a final mock draft and that kind of stuff like we did last year. So we have for you guys here tomorrow we're going to be going into the top edge rushers in the draft. Next week we're going to go into the top cornerbacks on Monday, top defensive line / defensive tackles on Wednesday, and the top mid-round quarterback prospects on Thursday. Going with the guys like Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt from Tulane, you know, Joe Milton from Tennessee, those kind of guys there. Then they're all fun starts the week of the draft. So Monday we'll do our last mock draft there for you guys. Oop, you know what? I messed up the schedule myself at that point there as I...
You big silly.
I did. You know what I didn't do? I didn't schedule one for a day, I feel like. I did. I missed a day. So we're gonna have to figure out something for the 18th. I didn't put it in there. We'll figure something out. We got you guys. I'll probably move the quarterbacks to that day. So we have that stuff out of the way for you guys there. But again, we got a mock ultimate mock draft the week of the draft, the last of the New York Giant mock drafts. We're going to do a complete first round mock draft the day before the first round for you guys as well. Kind of give you guys a prep and get ready for everything going on there. Again, as we were last year, we will be live the first two nights there for the entire first three rounds of the NFL draft. And then Saturday night, that we'll also have an episode for you guys there, running down all the guys that we drafted on Saturday as well. So you got tons of draft coverage still coming your way, guys. Tons of draft coverage. So we will see you guys again tomorrow to talk about the edge rushers there. We had a lot of nice teams coming out there. And of course, as always, Giant fans, remember, we are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter/X, Twitch, Instagram, and of course, Rob's favorite, my LinkedIn profile.
Drew's LinkedIn page.
And of course, we're available the next day on all the audio podcast platforms, big on Apple Podcasts there, but also, of course, on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Google Podcasts, all the big names there. So appreciate you guys listening. As always, we will see you guys again tomorrow. We'll talk about edge rushers tomorrow. It's only a day away. Appreciate you guys as always.
In 22 hours.
And as always, Giant fans.
Go, J-Man!
Go, J-Man!
Thanks for listening to Two Giant Goofballs,
a New York Giants podcast.
We appreciate your support. If you made it this long, you must have enjoyed it. So I am sure you have followed us on all the social media platforms. Of course, you have subscribed to the show on your favorite app as well and given us a top rating. Right? Right? Right?